But the more relevant aspect of the Nazi welfare state was how it geared itself entirely toward building a racially defined national community. While it used the standard leftist rhetoric of guilt and obligation typically invoked to justify government aid for the needy and unfortunate, it excluded anyone who wasn't a national comrade. This points to the unique evil of Nazism. Unlike Italian fascism, which had less use for eugenics than America or Germany, Nazism was defined as racial socialism. Everything for the race, nothing for those outside it, was the central ethos of Nazism's mission and appeal. One last point about the interplay of eugenics and the welfare state. In both Germany and America, eugenics gained currency because of the larger faith in public health. World War I and the Great Influenza Epidemic drafted the medical profession into the ranks of social planners as much as any other. For doctors, promoted to the rank of physicians to the body politic, the Hippocratic Oath lost influence. The American Medical Journal Military Surgeon stated matter-of-factly, "The consideration of human life often becomes quite secondary. The medical officer has to become more absorbed in the general than the particular, and the life and limb of the individual, while of great importance, are secondary to measures pro bono publico, for the public good." The Germans called this sort of thinking Gemeinnutz Gottfahr Weigenmutz. The common good supersedes the private good. And it was under this banner that Germany took the logic of public health to totalitarian extremes. Prohibition was the premier illustration of how closely American progressives linked moral and physical health, and many Nazis looked favorably upon the American effort. The appreciation was mutual. In 1933, the American Scientific Temperance Journal celebrated the election of Hitler, a famous teetotaler. And while the racist undercurrent of prohibition was always there, alcohol fueled the licentiousness of the mongrel races, in Germany the concern was more that alcohol and the even more despised cigarette would lead to the degeneracy of Germany's Aryan purity. Tobacco was credited with every evil imaginable, including fostering homosexuality. The Nazis were particularly fixated on cancer. The Germans were the first to spot the link between smoking and the disease, and the word cancer soon became an omnipresent metaphor. Nazi leaders routinely called Jews cancers and tumors on German society, but this was a practice formed from a broader and deeper habit. On both sides of the Atlantic, it was commonplace to call defectives and other groups who took more than they gave cancers on the body politic. The American Eugenic Society was dubbed the Society for the Control of Social Cancer. In Germany, before the Jews were rounded up, hundreds of thousands of disabled, elderly, and mentally ill pure Germans were eliminated on the grounds that they were useless bread gobblers or life unworthy of life. Leben sonwertes Leben, a term that first appeared in Germany in 1920.